Welcome to the Words of Grace podcast, where we seek to clarify, amplify, and apply the Sunday morning sermon at Grace Community Church. From time to time, we'll address other topics. We hope these podcasts help you press the Word of God into your everyday life.
Good afternoon. Today is the 26th of April.
Hey, Justin.
And I say that because I feel like I've been gone for a long time.
You have been.
Yeah.
You've been a lot of things. You've been sick.
We have had the stomach bug that's been going around that has swept through my house, and It was not so fun.
I hope you're over that.
I am.
Because you and I are doing a podcast.
We're in the same room.
I know.
If you start throwing up afterwards, we'll know what happens.
Oh, is that appropriate?
It is appropriate. We're totally fine. I'm not getting too detailed here. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Good. Well, welcome back.
Yes.
And thank you for bringing the peace offering, I guess you'd call it.
Which is coffee?
The coffee.
Yeah, very good coffee.
I would say to anybody listening that you would make anybody listening to this a cup of coffee if
absolutely.
They wanted.
If you call me or email me and say, let's have coffee, we've got a beautiful picnic table out now behind our little office here.
That's right.
I'll make a pour over and I'll change your life when it comes to coffee.
Well, that's a strong statement, but I'm almost in agreement, folks.
Yeah.
Justin makes a really good cup of coffee.
Yeah, I've had lots of practice.
Anyway, thank you, and we're back, and I'm looking forward to getting back into the podcast on a more regular basis.
Absolutely. Well, for those that are just kind of tuning in this week, we've been walking through several weeks. We started about 4 weeks ago, maybe five because we missed last week, but 5 weeks ago we started talking about how do we live in a congregation in a healthy manner when we don't always agree?
Yeah.
And we laid a lot of foundation. So I would encourage those, if this is your week one, to go back about 5 weeks, because we started like the first week, why this is so important. We talked about our identity, and we can have mission drift if we're not careful. And so I would, not going to rehash all that. I would encourage you to go back and listen.
Good.
But Scott, we got to the chapter,
which
we knew was coming. So we kind of knew starting this is a chapter that was coming that really talks Romans chapter 14 going into 15 about how do we really begin to get into this detailed nitty gritty, as we call it. How do we walk with each other in these differences?
Yeah.
So as we start, I want to kind of we can now actually recap the sermon because we're talking about it. But can you recap the last 2 weeks as we've started in Romans 14 for those that are listening? And then we kind of can have, ask some questions for us to kind of move forward.
Yeah. Good. So yes, Romans chapter 14 through half of chapter 15. So a full chapter and a half, Paul is dealing with the same topic, and that is welcoming one another when we have differences of opinion. The English Standard Version uses the word opinion, but we shouldn't think of it as opinions that are so light in nature.
Right.
Issues like what kind of coffee do you like?
Yeah.
They are important matters. They're just not necessarily essential matters to the actual truth of the gospel and the kind of life that the Bible's calling us as Christians to live.
Yeah.
But he enters into this discussion, and it's long, and so that's why we're taking a few weeks in our sermons to do it. This coming Sunday will be the third week in this section. And what I did in the first sermon was I wanted to put out in front of us a vision that helps us set our sights on where we should be going, what we should be aiming at as a congregation, that then, bringing that back into today, shapes us to really be a welcoming of one another congregation for that purpose. And that vision is the glory of God.
Yeah, which is found like in the 15th.
Chapter 15, verses 5 and 6, he's giving a benediction. And he's asking that the Lord would give them endurance and encouragement. And then he says, so that you will live in harmony with one another, in accord with Christ, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there's something about a congregation that is living in harmony, different parts coming together around Christ, in accord with Christ, so that they have a unity, one voice, that gives glory to God. It's interesting that Paul put that in the midst of this discussion on welcoming one another and relating to one another when we have differences of opinion, which tells us that the differences of opinion can still afford us the opportunity to unify in Christ and therefore live in such a way that with one voice we exalt God's power to transform and unify in Christ for all to see.
Yeah.
So the glory, we're doing this for the glory of God.
Right.
That's before us. Second week, which was actually last Sunday or yesterday, we talked about the motivation behind it. So we kind of went back and said, what has happened to us that encourages us, that motivates us to welcome one another in our differences? And what has happened is we have been welcomed by Christ.
Right.
So that's grace. So what I just tried to do was put together in the minds of our congregation a vision ahead of glory and a looking back, knowing that we that our salvation is rooted in the grace of Christ, His welcoming of us as sinners by forgiveness and the gift of righteousness. That grace then motivating. Glory ahead, grace behind motivates us to do this. So I was trying to set the tone.
Right.
And then this week, we're going to get into the nitty-gritty. And we're going to walk back through the entire passage and pull out some of the main points that he's making about being a congregation that lives with differences.
Good. Well, yeah, very, very helpful. I really loved, you know, in the benediction that Paul's giving, he uses the word harmony, and you went into the music world and began to give an explanation of what that really means, and different voices but tuned to one. And it was just really, really helpful. And so great laying a good foundation for us. What I want to do is ask a question that really came from the first sermon that you preached, but then get into some practical, like almost setting the stage, Scott, as we enter into relationship with one another where we may have a different of opinion. Like, how do we kind of set the stage as we enter into those conversations with people in the congregation? So first, we had someone at Grace, very helpful, send me a question. I thought it was really helpful. In that first sermon you talked about, as you set the stage for this passage, you said, now, as we start unpacking this, don't what if yourself out of this text. and sometimes, you know, we have community groups and small groups and even people over lunch will take a text and they'll kind of what if it to a degree. Like they'll say, as we think about practically speaking, living this out, what about this and what about this? And so sometimes we do that. So how would you kind of draw the line between, okay, now you're going to an unhealthy what if area. And that's okay to do that, but that may not be helpful.
Well, it's kind of a little phrase. I don't know where I think I made it up. I don't know. Maybe I heard it somewhere. But the idea is, you know, you read something in the Bible and it's pretty clear, but you start to qualify it so much, you know, you start to say, but what about in this case? And what if this happens? And, you know, what if this is the situation? And sometimes people do that, and you can do that as a way of really trying to understand and apply and be very faithful in your good, you know, renewed mind reasoning, which is what Paul's doing in Romans 14. He's by the renewal of his mind, you know, of calling us in the renewal of our minds, we're reasoning our way through about how to be disciples. Okay, so if you're asking what about and what if, in because you're seeking to be faithful and you're using good reasoning processes and biblical principles, great. But sometimes we say, well, what about and what if, as a way to kick the can down the road, the can being obedience to Christ.
Right.
And so we keep qualifying it so that we say, well, what about if in this situation we look at it this way? Sometimes that's really just an excuse not to obey.
Right. That's
and
good.
So I don't know, you know, an example, I don't have a specific example in mind, but let's just say, you know, the Bible says something very clearly like love your neighbor. But we could say, you know, but, you know, my neighbor's doing this or that. So shouldn't I also, along with loving them, you know, do this, or they complain to the neighborhood association or something, you know? It's like that's not the point right now, you know? The point is love your neighbor.
And so which kind of goes what you're saying is what if to the point where you're getting away from the main message of the text and not really addressing it, then you're like, well, then you just kind of messed the text
up. You're making an excuse.
Yeah.
You know, so I would just, you know, people just have to be honest with themselves. Yeah. I can't police that in somebody's mind, and they can't police it in my mind.
Yeah.
I don't know what people are doing, and people don't know what I'm doing.
Right.
We just have to be honest. I mean, we're Christians.
Yeah.
So we want to, if we're Christians, we want to obey God.
Yeah.
So we just need to make sure when we're asking questions about what about, what if, that we're really trying to look for applications that work for us and that are faithful.
And help us grow as disciples, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Versus constantly asking questions of a
text. So we don't have to really deal with it.
To avoid it.
Right.
And yeah. making it an excuse.
That's good. Okay. Well, that's helpful. Now, getting into what I want to talk about today is, I'm thinking, Scott, as I'm maybe someone listening to this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, I know a brother or sister in the Lord that we differ on this issue. Mm-hmm. And we're going to probably have some interaction. As I start thinking about having interactions with this person,
yeah.
How should I, what are some thoughts that I should have Good. As I enter into those conversations?
That's great. Okay. Now, pardon me, next week, we'll talk more about this
because yes.
we're going to look at the text from that kind of reasoning our way through point of view.
Yeah.
But I did think of these four things that we can touch on mm-hmm. for the rest of this time. When we differ with someone and we are approaching mm-hmm. the relationship, you know, the approach is everything. I use this example a lot. Mm-hmm. When I was on an airplane one time, the first time I was on an airplane that had one of those little video monitors on the seat in
oh,
front of
yeah,
me,
yeah.
The back of the seat that was in front of me, I could see, and they turned on the camera that's on the nose of the plane.
Mm-hmm.
So I was we were all watching the plane land, and we were looking at the runway, and we could see the white stripe in mm-hmm. the middle of the runway. And the plane was landing, and it was a bit over to the right, and you saw it get corrected, and it went over a little overcorrection to the left. We hadn't landed yet, but you can mm-hmm. still see that runway in front of us. And so we're all kind of leaning, trying to like our leaning is going to help the pilot, you know, steer the plane. And he did this about three or four times until he got it right in the center. And then he touched it down right on that white line, and we all started clapping.
Mm-hmm.
All right. When I saw that, I thought, man, the approach is everything.
Yeah.
You get your approach wrong, and you're in the ditch.
Yeah.
So maybe we could say, what are some things that would help us approach
That's good.
Each other in differences?
Good.
Here's one. When I differ with someone, I want to start out by assuming that that person mm-hmm. has a good and a positive agenda.
Yep.
That they have a goal in mind.
That's good.
That's good and positive, and that they're just trying to think their way through it, and mm-hmm. They're trying to achieve something good.
So you're almost saying, like, assume the best, not the worst.
Assume the best. That's a great, yes, assume yeah. the best, and often we don't.
Yeah, we almost read in and assume what they're thinking mm-hmm. when we really don't know what they're thinking.
Yeah.
Maybe they're really trying to approach it from a good discipleship perspective and really think and pray through it instead yeah. of just jumping to a conclusion.
Yeah. So if you're reading something on Facebook and someone says, you know, I agree with this or I don't agree with this, and they do it with exclamation points and all caps and it feels worked up, you know, they might be worked up. But often what we find is people assume that they have an ill motive, that mm-hmm. they have sin in their heart, you know, that when maybe they've got a deep concern about something
yeah.
that is a legitimate concern,
yeah.
they may not be responding well. They may be overreacting, or they may not understand the whole truth, but their motive might be they're concerned
yeah.
about something legitimate.
Yeah.
That's just one example of many ways. There are many examples of how we could assume the best
okay.
before we even approach them. Now, we might be wrong. They might have bad motives.
Right.
There might be sin in their heart.
Right.
But we should.
But you know what that would do, Scott? I think if you have that, and then when you do approach, like you're talking about the approach,
mm-hmm. yeah.
I would come at it so much more gentle.
Yeah.
That if there was sin, it may come out going, you know what? I probably was a little too worked up.
Yeah.
You know, it will help the conversation in a mm-hmm. lot of ways.
You know, to assume the best would, if I assume the best in you to mm-hmm. start with, you're my brother in Christ, Justin, mm-hmm. and you and I, let's say I find out you have you hold a position on something or you think a certain way and I disagree with you. If I assume the worst, I'm going to probably start correcting you and maybe even attacking you.
Yeah.
If I assume the best, Justin's my brother, the Spirit lives in him, surely God is working in his life. I would probably come at you with questions.
Yeah.
Tell me about this. Yeah. What are you thinking? What's your goal? What are you trying to accomplish? What's your main concern?
Yeah.
That would probably help a better conversation.
Yeah, that's good. Okay.
Right? Another one is assume that I might need to be corrected.
Ah, okay. So now it's back on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not assuming that I'm bad. I'm just saying, hey, my position, my motivation needs to be prayed through.
Yeah.
Before I go talking to my brother or my sister about something, I might need to ask, am I on track here? Am I right? Am I submitting to the Lordship of Christ? Is my mind being renewed by the Scripture? Do I have a positive, Christ-honoring, kingdom-minded goal in mind? Mm-hmm. And if not, I need to pray about that and get that right with the Lord before I approach. So assume the best, and then assume I might be able to be corrected.
Yeah.
Those two things.
I'm thinking about the plane right now. It's like you're going to the left. Like I'm going to assume the best, and then I'm going to also think it's something wrong. You're bringing it back.
Bringing it back. Yeah. So those two points there, I think, put us in a better listening position.
That's good.
So that we're you know doing what the Bible says, being quick to hear and slow to speak and slow to anger. All right, then I think a third thing is when we have a difference with someone, we have to ask, what is the difference? Like, what is the real issue? Like, really, where do we differ?
Yeah.
And then that leads us, you know, staying in that third question, what's the real difference? That leads us to think, is this a real essential, a real first tier? Are we really talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ? Mm-hmm. Are we talking about the clear doctrine of the Bible? Are we talking about a clear God-revealed, scripture-directed position on moral behavior, right and wrong?
Mm-hmm.
If we are, okay, now we're going to have a hard conversation.
Right.
Because we might have a disagreement that's not going to be able to get reconciled if we can't agree on what's essential.
Right.
But it might be second tier.
Yeah.
Meaning, it might be very important, but not absolutely essential to the point that we might say, look, you're my brother in Christ or sister in Christ, and I'm going to trust that you're a Christian. We might not even be able to be in the same church because we see a practice differently, like baptism or something like that.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to assume you're not a Christian.
Right.
It might be a third tier issue.
Yeah.
Which is, oh, we can hold a difference of opinion there and still have communion together and be in the same church and be members together and serve together. You know, and there's all kinds of applications. That's very simplistic. We could work that out in other things that we don't have time for because we can cooperate with people that we don't always agree with, even church to church. But I'm talking about brothers and sisters.
So you're saying, assume the best. Where can I maybe be off and do I need to be corrected and pray through my opinion on this? Third is I'm going to ask the question, what is the real difference here?
Yeah, what's the difference? Is it first tier, second tier, third tier? And that takes a lot of discernment to decide.
It does.
But that'll help us frame up the issue.
Yeah.
And it might help us figure out a step forward. Like I said, if it's first tier, we got to go a step further and say, this is a real conversation.
Yeah.
Second tier, maybe or maybe not. Third tier, we can probably let it go.
Yeah.
The fourth question that I would ask is that we, or the fourth part of this, is that we would say, okay, let's affirm our unity.
Yeah.
And let's remember our unity.
Yeah.
Okay, so the context that we're having this discussion, Justin, is a Christian to Christian.
Yeah.
Okay, so Jesus is Lord.
Yeah.
This is Romans 14.
Yeah.
The one who eats, he's doing it to honor Christ. The one who doesn't eat is doing it to honor Christ. The one who eats and the one who doesn't eat, they're doing it under the Lordship of Christ. Jesus is Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to be able to acknowledge that we're walking in the Lordship of Christ. Another thing that we have in common, at least here at Grace, hopefully, is we believe the Bible.
Yeah.
The Bible's going to guide us.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to do our best to understand the Bible and apply it faithfully, because we believe it is the inerrant, authoritative Word of God that guides our faith, our practice as individuals and as a congregation.
Yeah.
We're going to try.
Yeah.
So we can agree on that. We can agree that the gospel is necessary.
Yeah.
People are saved one way, by grace, through faith, in Christ alone.
Yeah.
And, you know, if we can keep hammering at that.
Yeah.
What do we agree on?
Mm-hmm.
It will help us. Mission.
Mm-hmm.
Our mission is to take the gospel to the world, to our city and to the world.
Yeah.
Morality.
Yeah.
We agree that there are certain things that may be, we may have freedom to do, but there are other things that we do not have the freedom to do. The Bible is very clear.
Right.
That sexual immorality is not to be among God's people.
Right.
The Bible is very clear that the sin of partiality, racism, superiority, yeah, is not to be among God's people. Right. It is to be cleansed from our heart.
Right.
You know? So you could just go on and on, mm-hmm, with some real basic,
yeah,
God revealed, yeah, scripture directed, mm-hmm, points of morality that, yeah, we just have to deal with.
Yeah.
You know, the protection of human life,
right,
at all levels and in the womb.
Right.
Is a God revealed position, mm-hmm, that we hold in common,
yeah,
here at Grace. So we could, again, we have to, there's lots of issues I could name, but yeah, we're running, yeah, out of time. I can tell, yeah, by watching you, there are times winding down, but I think you get the point.
Yeah. Well, and I think what this does, I'm just speaking out loud because as you're talking, it's helping me. When I hear these four, if I put those into practice, it actually causes me not to run from my brother who I differ, mm-hmm, but actually enter into a conversation.
Yeah.
Because I think if I have a friend who we differ, and we both take these four, mm-hmm, and go, okay, we're going to walk through these, I think we'll be able to enter a conversation. And, yeah, honestly, I think we both would probably walk away learning something,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
which would, yeah, be helpful.
Yeah.
Like, even if we differ going, you know, I don't know if I fully agree, but that's helpful.
Yeah.
That helps me understand something.
Yeah.
And, right, I think that's so helpful, mm-hmm, to say you can have good conversations even around disagreement on the second and the third tier.
Yeah. And let's be honest, Justin, sometimes we do have disagreements over the very important essentials.
Right. Yeah.
And I'll be honest with you and tell you that in the history of Grace Community Church, we have had people who have left our congregation.
Yeah.
Because they have come to realize that they do not agree with our congregation, the positions of Grace Community Church on essential issues.
Yeah.
Now, if I see them out and about, I love them,
yeah,
and I will certainly have conversation with them, but you know, we realize that we're not going to be able to be members of the same church because we have a disagreement over such a fundamental issue as the nature of the gospel or biblical authority or biblical morality,
yeah,
that they've had to leave,
yeah,
and they've so it's hard.
Yeah,
but working through it this way, at least I think we're still on speaking terms. I think we are, as far as I know,
mm-hmm,
and we can treat each other humanly.
Yeah,
but we just know we've got real differences.
Okay,
but the majority of the time, here at Grace in the 28 mm-hmm years, these differences we've been able to see, they're not really over the essentials, not even second tier, really third tier. And so there are people in this church that I'm sure make different choices that I would make or think differently about, yeah, certain issues in, mm-hmm, culture or, yeah, in church life than I do. And, yeah, I'm just perfectly fine,
yeah,
with those differences. Doesn't, yeah, bother me a bit.
Yeah. And as you said before, and which I hope everyone's hearing, is second tier and third tier does not mean it's not important.
Right.
Yeah, and so I think sometimes you hear that, like, oh, it just must not be important then, Scott. It's like, well, no, it's important.
Everything's important.
Everything's important, right.
Yeah.
But it may not divide you.
That's right. It may mean I can still fellowship, right, with you in our, yeah, congregation.
Yeah.
And we can still be members, yeah, of the same church.
Because the issues in Romans 14 were important.
Yeah. And regardless of the issue, I can still treat you humanly.
Absolutely.
But we all know that in every issue, we are all individually accountable to God.
Yeah.
You know, again, Romans 14,
yeah,
we are the servant of a master before, mm-hmm, whom we will stand and praise the Lord. Our master, the Lord Jesus Christ, will enable us to stand by his grace.
Yeah. Well, very helpful, Scott. And I know that everyone's asking, well, Scott, tell me what those essentials are. And I would just say, hold, because we're going to start getting to that more.
Well, we are this week, but I'm going to go ahead and say up front, I can't do that on every issue. I mean,
right,
I know.
We'll help a little bit with that.
Yeah, we'll try to give some guidance, yeah, but I'm not the guru here.
Yeah, you know,
I'm not the end all.
Wait, Scott, you're not? I'm just
kidding. No, it's the, yeah, you know, everybody, those who are in Christ have the Spirit and they, yeah, have the Word, and we believe that we're pursuing the Lord, right, together. So
good. All right. Well, thank you, Scott. We'll be on here next week.
Okay, thanks.
All right.